Chapter 1. I am an hourglass. My 17 years have collapsed and buried me from the inside out. My legs feel full of sand and stapled together. My mind overflowing with grains of indecision, choices unmade and impatient as time runs out of my body. The small hand of a clock taps me at 1 and 2, 3 and 4, whispering, "Hello, get up. Stand up. It's time to wake up. Wake up. Wake up," he whispers. A sharp intake of breath and I'm awake but not up, surprised but not scared, somehow staring into the very desperately green eyes that seem to know too much, too well. Aaron Warner Anderson is bent over me, his worried eyes inspecting me, his hand caught in the air like he might have been about to touch me. He jerks back. He stares, unblinking, chest rising and falling. "Good morning," I assume. I'm unsure of my voice, of the hour and this day, of these words leaving my lips and this body that contains me. I notice he's wearing a white button-down, half untucked into his curiously unrumpled black slacks. His shirt sleeves are folded, pushed up past his elbows. His smile looks like it hurts. I pull myself into a seated position, and Warner shifts to accommodate me. I have to close my eyes to steady the sudden dizziness, but I force myself to remain still until the feeling passes. I'm tired and weak from hunger, but other than a few general aches, I seem to be fine. I'm alive. I'm breathing and blinking and feeling human, and I know exactly why. I meet his eyes. "You saved my life. I was shot in the chest. Warner's father put a bullet in my body, and I can still feel the echoes of it. If I focus, I can relive the exact moment it happened. The pain, so intense, so excruciating, I'll never be able to forget it." I suck in a startled breath. I'm finally aware of the familiar foreignness of this room, and I'm quickly seized by a panic that screams I did not wake up where I fell asleep. My heart is racing, and I'm inching away from him, hitting my back against the headboard, clutching at these sheets, trying not to stare at the chandelier I remember all too well.
"It's okay," Warner is saying. "It's all right."
What am I doing here? Panic, terror clouds my consciousness. Why did you bring me here again?
"Juliet, please, I'm not going to hurt you."
Then why did you bring me here? My voice is starting to break, and I'm struggling to keep it steady. Why bring me back to this hellhole?
"I had to hide you."
He exhales, looks up at the wall. What? Why?
"No one knows you're alive."
He turns to look at me.
"I had to get back to base. I needed to pretend everything was back to normal, and I was running out of time."
I force myself to lock away the fear. I study his face and analyze his patient, earnest tone. I remember him last night. It must have been last night. I remember his face, remember him lying next to me in the dark. He was tender and kind and gentle, and he saved me, saved my life. Probably carried me into bed, tucked me in beside him. It must have been him. But when I glance down at my body, I realize I'm wearing clean clothes, no blood or holes or anything anywhere, and I wonder who washed me, wonder who changed me, and worry that might have been Warner, too. I hesitate, touching the hem of the shirt I'm wearing. My clothes. He smiles. He stares until I'm blushing, and I decide I hate him a little, and then he shakes his head. Looks into his palms.
"No,"
he says.
"The girls took care of that. I just carried you to bed."
"The girls," I whisper, dazed. "The girls. Sonia and Sarah. They were there too, the healer twins. They helped Warner. They helped him save me because he's the only one who can touch me now. The only person in the world who'd have been able to transfer their healing power safely into my body. My thoughts are on fire. Where are the girls? What happened to the girls? And where is Anderson and the war? And, oh God, what happened to Adam and Kenji and Castle? And I have to get up. I have to get up. I have to get up and get out of bed.